This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus. Hey, you guys. Today, I'd really like to talk about common mistakes parents make raising teens. Is that good with you?
Oh, I'm excited about this one.
Sounds good to me.
I know you have reason to be excited. Ashley, what's going on in your house?
Well, as you two know, my oldest will become a teenager this month.
Yes.
We are excited and equally as nervous. I think I am. When I say we, I'm talking about me. Brett's excited. I'm excited. I'm a little bit nervous because this is different. This is different for us. There's going to be a shift.
Yes, exactly. And there are a lot of pitfalls that can happen in the teen years. And I know, you know, as a conscientious parent, you want to avoid making some of these mistakes. And I'm glad to have you here, Dr. Ken, to give us some words of wisdom on that.
I love this stuff.
Yeah. So tell us what you see in your practice that are common mistakes that parents make raising teens, preteens to, letting them fly. What do you see in your practice?
Well, you know, it comes up a lot. Even in the last week or two, I've had two or three different couples talking about stuff. And there's some sort of larger scale things to think about that are mistaken direction that we can talk at later times about specifics of how to avoid it. But, you know, the thing that is the most common that parents really need to think about is parenting using childhood parenting techniques with teenagers. You know, it's the reason that I ended up writing a book was that there are so many really good books about grace-based parenting or, how to really talk so your children will listen. These are all good techniques, but it concerned me that they didn't take into account, to me, the most obvious thing that above all, always keep in mind, and that is that your teenager is not a child. Now, Ashley, I know that your daughter is not going to wake up at 13 a completely different human than 12,
right.
But somewhere between her 12th and 14th birthday, there'll be a significant transition that I really want to encourage to pay attention to, because the most common thing is you just plow ahead with the same things we did when she was 8 and now she's 15 and I don't understand why she doesn't like this stuff. That happens all the time. That's just using good parenting techniques without taking into account, wait a minute, how old is the child that you're trying to deal with?
Okay, right. So when you say childhood parenting techniques, what are you talking about exactly?
Yeah, that's a good question. So for example, one of the big things that you do with children is you teach them. You both maybe discipline them or direct them or whatever, but you give this little or long little speech. We don't hit other children because how would you like it? And you do this whole thing. And a lot of us love our little speeches. We become little teaching parents.
I'm super good at it.
Yeah.
You know, what's sad is that I thought I was too. I liked my speeches, but it never really helped my teenagers.
Yeah.
And you can ignore that and think, well, my favorite is when parents often love to quote their own speech to me. Mm-hmm. And then I'll say, so what did she say after that? And then they're always like, well, she didn't say anything, but she had this look on her face like maybe she was really thinking about it. And that's where I have to deliver the bad news.
Doubtful.
No, that's not what that face is.
Yeah.
So that's one thing, you know, is is, you know, children need to be disciplined and taught and cared for and protected. Adolescents still need some of that, but it's really a dropping, you know, you drop more and more of that and you do more of training and releasing. So teenagers benefit far less from teaching and certainly speeches. And so that's part of what you do in using, you know, childhood parenting techniques is still directing and so forth. So that gets at kind of a sub parenting mistake, which is with teenagers, you really need to separate, you know, most everything you need to tell your teenager into two categories. Is this thing coming from my mouth requirement, as in I'm telling you to do this thing or there'll be a consequence, or is this advice? Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of what parents end up really doing a lot of their talking, it's advice. I'm just telling you, I don't know that that girl is a good girl for you to be friends with. That it doesn't mean I'm about to ground you if you go to the movies with her. I mean, it's your friend, but we don't say that part. We just want to talk about, you know, we're waiting for a teenager to go, huh, that's a really good point, which they don't do.
It hasn't happened yet.
if you'll take the time to separate out that, you know, look, can I just tell you something? Because this is my experience and it worries me, but maybe you think this is dumb. Then say the thing that you want them to hear and then finish with, but listen, that's your call. I mean, it's not my life. That goes down so much easier and different than that kind of vague, I'm not telling you whether this is something I'm mad at you for or going to do anything about, or if it's just advice. I just want you to listen. And they don't. They need to know. They need this to be framed as, is this advice or have to?
So the advice kind of leaves the ball in their court and says, you're in charge now. You make the decision. It gives them that autonomy and that independence.
I love hearing that.
Mm-hmm. I think this will be the area I struggle at the most, because I have several other children that I'm parenting and raising them because they're still children.
Right.
So to consciously make the effort to distinguish, you're 13 now, you know.
Yes. And if you do that in front of the younger ones, like, you know, I'm not telling your sister the same thing because she's 13, but you have to go to clean your room right now. You know, your obedient child will not like that. How come she doesn't have to? Your teenager will love that. Like, oh, I am getting somewhere in this house. I am moving toward adulthood in some manner. And that's super comforting. But it's really hard to do on the fly, like you say, you know, like to shift sets is hard.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what else do you see in practice that are mistakes that parents made?
Well, you know, to get to the thing I just talked about, where you really do separate advice from have to, which, by the way, when you do give a have to, you don't have to use a lot of words. Have to sound like if you don't have the trash out at the curb on Tuesdays and Fridays, by the time you leave for school, then you lose an hour of phone that night or something very specific. That doesn't take a lot of words. And you certainly don't add to that because, you know, trash in our society, or any little talk you want to give, it's just very specific. And remember, they won't like it. But even clarity beats because I said so. It's just, you know, you want to be real clear. So actually your advice can have a lot more words, but when you really are giving a have to, just be real clear about it. Have to sound like this thing has to be done by this time or this consequence will happen. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that another time. But to do that though, I think the other common mistake is that parents of teenagers really need to clearly have in mind an end point. You have to know that in your own mind and teach your teenager that there will come a point at this future date that we are done with the parenting stuff and you'll be virtually on your own. And that is for almost everyone listening to this, that point that you really need to seriously consider is the day after your teenager graduates from high school. I don't even mind if you still have limits on graduation night. I don't care. But for example, you really want to be out of the directing and requiring and certainly the consequence business by the end of high school, because they have to be ready to handle stuff. Even if your kid is going to be staying home for a year of junior college or working, the life of a post-high school kid is so different different from before that, that really need to consider. I've had almost no exceptions to that, that that's really the day that you're done. And if you don't keep that in mind and you keep it kind of vague, or even worse, you think, well, you know, we'll see if he gets there. And if he gets there, basically, I'm waiting for him to signal this to me, then I know where that goes. You never get there. You're
right.
Still doing it, and your teenager gets more secretive, doesn't like you, and it just doesn't go anywhere. It's just not very effective. So setting an endpoint really sets you free to keep in mind what time is it in this teenager's life. And it's very comforting for teenagers to be talked to by parents that remember to occasionally bring in, look, you know, this is your senior year, so obviously I'm not going to be saying the same thing I would 2 years ago, but things that remind them, wow, okay, there's a clock on the wall and this is going to come to an end.
That excites me. Is that normal?
No, I think it's not normal, and I'm glad that it does, because it's often scary to hear that, because of still the assumption that, but my 17, 27, 35 year old is still a giant child, right? And no.
It's failure to launch.
That's what we have. Exactly. So setting an endpoint, if you don't do that, it makes everything harder to do.
Right. And you end up parenting far longer than you should, which is in some ways as a parent, just a real big drag. You want to at some point, you want to at some point have a child that you've raised, that you trust to be a healthy, well-adjusted adult, and they move on with their lives and you are part of their lives, but in a healthy, balanced way.
And you can totally get there. Like, you can get to a point to have a relationship with your adult children, even college age, young adult children. They like you. They'll call and say, can I ask your advice about this thing? It totally is way more effective. And that's the reason I press it, not just because you can't, or look how upset you're making your young person. I don't care. That's not the main thing. Is you want to have a relationship with your adult children. And there are adults listening right now that still kind of can't talk to their parents because dad will give that speech or mom will get upset, and, you know, or something that actually makes it hard to just talk adult to adult with your parents. So it can change the next many decades of your relationship with your kid. And it's powerful.
Right. So you were talking a little bit about giving advice to your children, I think, or your adult children. How does this start in their teen years? What kind of advice are you recommending?
I think you really evaluate what you're wanting to tell your teenager. And most times you'll find out that, I don't know, 80% or more, I made up that right on the spot, is if you just ask yourself, is this thing I'm about to say to my teenager something that I am willing to give a consequence if she doesn't do it? Or is this something I really just want them to consider? If you'll take that moment to decide which pile is the words I'm about to say that's the first step. And then secondly, become better and better. I actually have a whole description of this in the book under advice giving, that you learn how to signal in natural language that this thing I'm about to tell you isn't something you have to do. Mm-hmm. And again, the key being so that you're more effective in being listened to, not less. So a lot of parents that, you know, you can fear will do this. I could tell that he didn't like what I said, but I, as his dad, needed to say this. And I checked the box that I said it. And I've told parents before, you know, when it gets really bad, I've said, you know, you're currently this voice that's on a raft way off in your daughter's life, and you're about to go over the horizon, and you're feeling like you've done the thing you should do, but you're not paying attention, that you're not having any impact on your adolescent.
Oh, that's good. Right. We don't want to be just talking at them. I think that's discouraging to them, and it's frustrating to us.
It's exhausting to us.
Exactly. Yes. So that leads really to the last sort of, if you take that and put the other side of it, probably the last most common parenting mistake is on the things that you do need to say that are not advice. These are in some manner things that I'm telling my teenager they have to do this thing, or they must not do this thing. Then the most common mistake is that parents of teenagers need to recognize that you are no longer a policeman. You take the role of a judge. And what I mean by that is that parents who are policemen, say of an 8-year-old, who will not get to bed, even though I've told her to. You have to think of a way to get her to bed. You have to, keep your kids from taking each other's toys. You have to intervene to sort of maintain control and make sure crimes are not happening in your house. And that's fine. But with teenagers, they are too large, as you notice, and too smart to use basically policeman techniques. The worst is dads often can still rely on a big voice or even a large physical presence that doesn't really, I mean, he's not going to do anything, but he'll still talk like, okay, just don't, okay? Don't ever talk to me like that again. And, you know, eventually some teenager is going to cross the line and say, really? Why? What are you going to do? And then you're stuck because you don't have, you don't want a social worker on your doorstep. You can't do anything. But the key is that you don't have to be a policeman with teenagers. You're much more powerful in being a judge. And being a judge means that you know the truth of the real power that you have in your teenager's life. You, as the parent of your teenager, own everything that they have. Everything. The shirt on his back right now is yours. The computer that grandma bought me is yours. I love when that comes up. Like, no, they can't take my phone because my grandma bought me that. I always like to tell some 8th grader, really? If they take your phone, who are you going to call? Hello, police? My phone? It was my dad. Hello? Hello? I mean, you can... appropriately restrict and limit the things that they have. And again, don't overdo it. But a judge can, seeing that he's late again on curfew, it's now 11:20 and he was supposed to be here at 11. A policeman has to text, go out there, drive over to the house, intervene somehow in what is inevitably an embarrassing situation.
But a judge, everyone involved.
That's exactly right. A judge sits at home and makes tea and starts really considering now, what is the punishment for this? Oh, yes. We talked about that. So that when he waltzes in at 11:25, always because I had to take my friend home and whatever, you're like, yeah, that must be rough for you. Anyway, you're grounded the next weekend night, just like we had said. And I usually recommend that you have written out the kind of specifics. This is what you have to do. And this is what the consequence will be if you don't, so that you don't overreact or underreact. Mm-hmm. But the key being is that a judge can sit calmly. He doesn't have to make sure this crime doesn't happen. That you can't. But you do become very effective and hopefully very consistent in doling out the reasonable consequence for the thing I already told you. This is the thing you must do. And so this is the consequence for it.
Right. I really like the idea, too, that the judge already knows the law. It's already laid out for him. He's just carrying out the law. Like you said, having a written agreement between you and your child of this is the consequence when this doesn't happen. And a kid knows before I even walk in at 11:25, oh, yeah, I'm late. And so my consequences is XYZ. And I'm going to have to face that when I get home.
That's right. Which you lay out in written form of the things that you can anticipate have been a problem. Because remember, your teenager doesn't come home late from curfew because I couldn't remember or my phone died. Your teenager comes home late from curfew because they think your curfew is dumb. I don't need this. When will you realize that I can be out and about and I don't need this? There's no reason to be surprised by that. This is an adult. And right. But you need to make sure that they are not surprised by, yeah, we're so dumb that we'll actually punish you for it. And we did it last time. We're doing it this time. We'll do it next time. And everyone stays calm. No one has to get everyone to agree. It's just, this is it. Now, last thing I'll tell you, though, is that what you write out are the things that you can, you know, almost it's a help to your teenager to say, look, I'm going to try to clarify the things that we bump into. But the law actually is in the parent's mind. It's not, you'll have the teenager that will say, wait, but that's not what was on the page.
Right.
Well, yeah, this one we didn't anticipate. And so you're right. We didn't know that one. We'll write it out for next time. But the consequence still stands. Right. You always get these lawyer teenagers. I can't tell you how many teenagers will say, well, everyone says I should go into law. And I'm like, no, that's just working an arguer. That doesn't make for a good lawyer. Oh, but, yes. But you know, some parents get stumped by that. Like, well, she's got a point. We didn't say that, you know, whatever.
They're always looking for a loophole, right? For that loophole.
Again, just don't be surprised that the reason they're doing this is because they're not children anymore. Children are listening for you for what are we supposed to do in life? Teenagers are writing their own book of what do I say I need to do in life? And it is not at all a surprise that they will think some or many of the things that you think are important are just annoying, kind of humiliating little things that I don't need this. But that's not any reason to back away from. No, we still say you need this. Always helped by reminding them that the answer is never no, it's always not yet. Yeah. So while you have this curfew now, and this is, we'll get to this another time, you tell me both of you will not give your high school graduate young adult a curfew. Don't do it. Don't do it. The day after graduation, congratulations, you don't have a curfew. These are the things we need from you to not wake us up and stuff. And if you can't do that, you can't live in our house. But it's not curfew. I cannot tell you how many Thanksgiving breaks I get an emergency call. Because, she said, she's going out. And we said, where? And she said, out. And I'll be back when? And she said, later. And we got into this, wait, just a minute. And she's all upset because she spent 3 months making her own decision about when to come in. And for some reason, she doesn't realize that when she gets to our house, she's back to being about 10 and doesn't realize what she needs. And she's all upset by that. Of course, she's upset by that. Don't do a curfew.
Yeah. Yes, that's good advice. I need that. It's coming up in my life in just a few months here.
Now, no problem. I would almost never give no curfew to a kid that's still in high school. I don't care how sweet and responsible. There's no need for that. It's just you need to hit that point. But that, you know, basically the day after graduation, you know, let me know if you want when you're coming in, but we're not staying up.
Yes. So, Ashley, does this help any for your next few weeks as you transition?
It does. And I think that it's going to spur on some conversations between my husband and I as we prepare over the next couple of weeks before our oldest becomes a teenager so that we can kind of gain clarity on some of these things and write down some things so that we know, you know, what if she breaks a law, what her consequence would be. So
that's
we
right.
can make that shift in her life from the policeman to the judge. And as well, think about, and I think this is harder for me. I think it's going to be so much easier for my husband. He deals with teenagers. He's a high school teacher. And so I've always said that he just speaks their language. But he's just so good with teenagers. So I think this is going to be an easier transition for him than it will be for me. I'll have to be more intentional about not using the same childhood raising techniques on her as I do with my other six children.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Stuff. Yes. Thank you, Dr. Ken. This has been
good questions.
Been good stuff.
It's been great. You guys, thank you for joining us for this conversation.
See you next time.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.